Welcome to the Technology Lab, presented by CPA Practice Advisor, with your hosts, Randy Johnston and Brian Tankersley.
I'm Randy Johnston, along with Brian Tankersley. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brian Tankersley. I've been in the profession since the early 90s, have been doing accounting technology since the late 90s on a professional basis. I've written a few hundred product reviews, and I've spoken in 48 states talking about accounting technology to CPAs.
And I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. I am so pleased to spend time with you today. I have been on the top 100 list since 2004, the top 25 list since 2011. I love to spend time in technology and with my family as well. I'm fortunate enough to have founded Network Management Group, which is a managed service provider, providing services from Boston to Honolulu. And my K2 business is how I met Brian, and it is how we've probably met many of you, producing CPE and PD in the US and Canada. We're so pleased to spend time with you on today's Technology Lab. Well, good day. Welcome to the Technology Lab. I'm Randy Johnston with my co-host, Brian Tankersley. This session on CES Evolving Tech is to try to give you an idea of applications of technology that your clients might use, or if you're an industry listener, that you might be able to use in your own practice. So with the CES show, CES stands for Consumer Electronics Show, and this CES just completed was probably more CES-like than I've seen in a few years. Now, there were several of the consumer technologies that truly were consumer. In our session with you today, we're going to talk a little bit about what I'd call age tech, and we're going to talk a little bit about health tech. We will also, go over into other things like home tech and so forth. But I'd like for you to begin picturing that vendors have seen opportunities in all sorts of sectors. And you probably have seen it in your own client base and in your client's client base. So, Brian, I think what I'd like to do is start with health tech. All of us obviously have to take care of ourselves. And I was amazed at how many products there were for health tech at CES. Which ones caught your eyes?
There are quite a few, actually. My wife and I actually do some work with the homeless ministry. And, as part of that, a lot of those folks do have all kinds of health, both physical and mental health problems. And part of the problem in our current health system is that if you don't have money, you can get care through Medicaid in my state, Tennessee, but you have to really want that care badly. And part of the problem with the homeless folks is that many times they're stuck in a catch-22. They really don't have the resources to get there. And so the practitioners aren't there. And so these problems, like, for example, rotten teeth, cause all kinds of other health problems that are just unbelievable. And so there were actually devices that you could use with teeth and to check eyes, and you could do virtual eye exams and virtual teeth exams. And I was quite intrigued by that because I thought it was an interesting opportunity there. Kind of like an ultrasound has an operator, you could actually have an operator that would do the checking of the teeth and the eyes, and then you could have a licensed practitioner look over the final result. So that was interesting. There's also some devices that said they had effects for depression. And after the pandemic, I know the rates of depression and the mental health problems have absolutely spiked through the ceiling. I have some friends that are in the mental health area, and they've actually told me that where there used to be a little bit of slack in the system, where if somebody was really acute and they needed some treatment outpatient in order to keep them from going inpatient, that slack is no longer in the system. So, it's rather interesting there.
Hold your thought there for just a minute, if I could, because I do want to come back and pick up from depression, but I'm still distracted by the teeth thing. Because, you and I specifically looked at an instrument that could be used to identify each individual tooth and examine it. And, that part of it was just phenomenal because The components on the end were plastic disposable. The whole unit itself, in fact, all of these devices that we're talking about generally had a retail price below $200. So the fact of the matter is that you could get one of these devices that would examine all the individual teeth and record it was great. But there was also devices that would brush teeth properly. One claim was in 10 seconds, right? And, you know, I hesitate to say how many teeth-related things we saw, Brian, but it was probably 50 without trying to exaggerate too much. I'm trying to be realistic in the number, but it was every time you turned around. Now, the eyes, that was one of the last things that we got to see together. But, you know, the eye exam piece was really fascinating because it looked like a virtual reality goggle, but it would do a complete eye exam for you unattended. And so, you know, I'm just thinking about the applicability in ophthalmology and optometrist to diagnose all sorts of eye issues with that type of thing. But that wasn't the only eye exam. I would bet we probably saw 20 of those. So without exaggeration, I would say we saw maybe close to 400 different pieces of health tech in one way or another. Now, the depression pieces, I'm just going to suggest that on this, we probably saw 40-ish different types of applications to test this, to, you know, and so forth. It was really amazing to me how many there were. Now, the one that I pulled you aside to look at was the one on CPR. You know, this one had been developed by a Swiss company, as I recall. And, you know, it did chest compressions with kind of a pneumatic rod. I mean, it was the real break your rib type of compression.
And the way to think about this was it was like a kind of like a round device that was about 18 inches long that you would basically put the person in. And then it had a plunger that would go up and down. It was kind of like a hydraulic cylinder. Although it was, I think it was air, I think it was pneumatic as opposed to being hydraulic, but it just pushed up and down. And so that way, if you had, you know, if you were an ambulance, you pulled up and you had two people that were critical who both had hearts that weren't working. One of you could, you know, you could set one of them up with the box and let the device pump their chest, and then you could pump the chest of the other one. You know, that's a bad day to be sure, but it was interesting because, you know, with the problems we're having with the power grids and things like that, people on life support in hospitals now, you know, this concept of the power grid having all the problems it does, you know, tools like this really make a lot of sense. You know, but one that I thought that was quite interesting, and this is the one that's probably the most garish of all of them, was all of the toilet seats out there. Oh my goodness, there were so many toilet seats. It did so many different things. And you may say, well, Brian, we've seen bidets in Europe for years. But no, these toilet seats take your temperature and they measure your heart rate and they measure your blood pressure. And they actually go in and some of them even claim to measure your blood glucose levels. And then some of them actually go into evaluating your stool and evaluating your urine and all kinds of other things like that. And so I was just looking at all of that and it just absolutely blew my mind, the things that that the consumer electronics industry seemed to be offering for toilet seats. It was just, you know, it for poop. It was just a very strange year, to be sure.
Yeah. And, you know, all of that was in the context, supposedly, of testing and monitoring and, you know, drug tests and drug levels. And like you said, just about everything that you could measure from a urinalysis. And I actually was fascinated by how, you know, some of the no stick blood analysis was going on and so forth. So, you know, as it turns out, the health tech was over the top. But, you know, we're going to go to I don't know if you can get much lighter than, you know, toilet seats, Brian, but I'm going to go to the lighter topic of pet tech. Again, this is an interesting area that, without exaggeration, dozen and dozens, 100 plus pet tech things were everywhere. Now, Obviously, some of you were, some of these technologies you were very interested in. You obviously have, you know, pets that you're, you know, you've had embedded with chips and whatnot. But, you know, for me, I didn't know that dogs' noses were unique fingerprints. And, you know, the one piece of tech where, you know, you could actually take a picture of the dog's nose and it would identify the dog, as an example. But there was dog teeth, dog eyes, dog depression, dog glucose monitoring. I'm not even sure I can name all of the pet tech that was out there. What caught your eye?
You know, my favorite was probably the device that had a series of pads where you trained your pet in certain words. Then you could actually have your pet work up to being able to communicate with them. So they would have, you would train them that this is, that when you press this word, it means I want. And when you press this pad, it means food. And so then they could tap those two things. And then this device was on your network and would send you messages through an app that said things like play outside. I want to play outside, or play fetch, or I want food, or leg hurts, or other things like that. And it was absolutely amazing. And I'm interested in kind of checking those out. Another one that I've actually seen some people that I know use is one called the Bird Buddy. That's a bird feeder that basically has something similar to a Ring doorbell built into it with a camera. And it actually takes pictures of the birds, video of them, and then it identifies them, and then it puts the photos into a library for you and kind of tells you what's going on there. I've had tools like Broodminder and others that I use with my bees for a long time, and I'm quite excited about that one because now I can get a handle maybe on what the population of birds is around my bees and figure out if the birds are creating a problem for my bees. But there's just all kinds of things. I mean, if I had a nickel for every cellular dog collar that I saw this time, I would be a very wealthy man.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Now, I'm going to go back because I think you've done a pretty good job of describing the Bird Buddy, which uses artificial intelligence to actually spot the birds and then has a reporting app for, you know, nationwide reporting. But the button piece that you're talking about called Fluent Pet, I think I mentioned to you that my niece, Kate, has that in her home. She bought it, and she has a dog named Pippin that is nearly at 100 words in about 60, 90 days, somewhere in that range. But just yesterday, the day before we recorded this podcast, she's posted saying that Pippin was looking at her other dog, Gus, and he went to the button and said, now, and then basically drop it, and basically wanted the bone that Gus was chewing on, went over, chewed on it, and then went back to the buttons and said, all done. And so notice that for the dog to be communicating with the buttons to say, I want what you have, other dog, but saying it so the person in the room would also know, it's pretty fascinating. So I don't know how all that stuff will come out. Well, that's kind of the fun side of pet tech. But another evolving tech area was age tech. Now, you'll notice that there was not only a pavilion run by AARP, but there was a lot of other age-related technologies. So the ability to be able to do estate planning was covered there, and the ability for exercise and mobility. And, you know, I'm not going to try to name all the age-related tech, but if there was a need for a person that was aging to have a technology, I think it was represented at this show. Anything from medication dispensing to extra care to different video communications. I mean, it was really amazing. So out of the age tech, what was most interesting to you, Brian?
You know, what I thought was most interesting, I guess, was all of the assistive technologies to help identify when your parent or loved one or senior adult loved one has some kind of fall. You know, that's something the Apple Watch has done for some time, but there were many other technologies that were there as well. The thing I walked away from this was that, you know, my parents are both gone now, but I think when it's my son's turn to, you know, take away my car keys and do some things like that, I think he'll have much better tools so that he can maintain a better work-life balance instead of having to always be there when the parents are awake in order to take care of them.
Yeah. Well, we've stepped through health and Pat and age tech. And of course, we've in the standards CES session that we recorded here in the tech lab, we talked about some of the home standards. But, you know, I think two others that maybe we'll wrap this section up with were gaming tech and the virtual reality goggles. Now, I am hard pressed again to name how many virtual reality goggles and not just gaming virtual reality or augmented reality, but you know, the one that I picked up and stopped on was warehouse picking goggles. And, you know, there, and you, I think, did a beautiful job with that app where you could scan the room for a contractor and take care of all the measurements of the room and the furniture that was in the room and so forth. That was out of Paris. What a beautiful app to get that job done. But the virtual reality goggles, I would guesstimate there were north of 100 of those that we saw in different positions. So out of the gaming tech and out of the virtual reality goggles, what caught your eye the most?
Okay, so I have to tell you that I'm very bearish on virtual reality goggles. I refer to them as birth control goggles because I think even the most attractive people look very unattractive in them. But what I would probably suggest to you here is that the gamification stuff where you're actually making a game out of picking items and you know, in a warehouse, that kind of stuff I thought was interesting. We don't have to necessarily push it to the extremes that Amazon is rumored to have where, you know, if you get below a certain stat, you get fired. But I think having some healthy competition between people is rather interesting. When you get to the gaming stuff, the other thing I took away was that the input devices seem to be higher quality and able to take more abuse. So I've actually got a gaming keyboard now, and I think all my keyboards going forward are either going to be like the ones from Matthias we talked about earlier or gaming devices, just because of the durability as well as the quality of them.
I guess we'll close up this section with just one final piece of home tech, because I don't very often enter drawings, but I entered drawings for this one because, hey, if I win it, I'll give it to my sister. But out of a company called Yarbo, there was a combination device that would blow snow, act as a leaf blower, and as a mower, and it was basically a robot. So in effect, you could dispatch this thing, I would say in the middle of the night if it snowed, to blow all the snow off your drives if you're in a snow area. But the leaf blowing capability was very strong and the mowing capability looked good too. The device was not overly large. It frankly didn't seem very expensive either. But in that particular case, I could look at this and see how practical that was. Now, we're going to have another tech lab where we talk about some real practical industrial use things and a little bit of what we considered was impractical. But here was a case where I think this was a practical doggone tool for your home. You know, you may contract a snow removal company and a yard company and so forth. I'm not sure this robot couldn't do a lot of what many people contract for.
Yeah, it was very interesting. This Yarbo device has tracks on it, and so it could navigate uneven ground. And I would say that the tracks were... I saw one other place that I wanted to make sure I got in this episode was on a wheelchair. There was actually a wheelchair that could climb stairs, which I thought was fascinating. In my lifetime, I've had times when my parents couldn't get around except in a wheelchair. And, you know, for them to be able to get that mobility back through an assistive device, I thought was a pretty interesting concept. The disability, the things that are out there to enable disabled people to do all kinds of things, exosuits, things like that were very, very interesting.
You know, that is a nice healthcare technology to wrap up with, because I had exactly the same thought, Brian. I didn't want to get out of this episode without that tracked wheelchair. But it does remind me of my bus ride next to the Ford engineer that was looking for disability assistive devices so they could have self-driving cars where people in wheelchairs and, frankly, other disabilities could become independent and mobile again. It's a very exciting time. I'm very pleased to share some of these technologies with you. Again, we know if you didn't go to CES, you would never read about them in the press because, you know, we were having to pick these things out, but it was fascinating for the big trends. And, you know, we'll talk to you again in another session about some of the industrial trends, if you will, you know, the real heavy duty use of some of the technologies. So Brian and I are pleased to have you in the technology lab with us. And we'll talk to you again in the very near future.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll be back next week with a new edition of the Technology Lab, brought to you by CPA Practice Advisor.